Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio. Peace, everyone, and welcome to the Edible Activist Podcast. I'm your host, Melissa L. Jones, broadcasting live from the lobby of The Line, D.C. This podcast is where dynamic people of color in the food and agriculture space share their personal food journeys, passions, and perspectives that stem from the land, all exemplifying the spirit of activism in their own edible way. Let's get started. Peace, everyone, and welcome to the Edible Activist Podcast. This is your host, Melissa L. Jones, broadcasting live from the lobby of The Line, D.C. here on Full Service Radio. And we are kicking off season three, and I'm so excited. Thank you guys for having me back, and I hope everyone's been enjoying these shows. I have. So today is a really, really, really uber special show because I have my mama on here, y'all. And she's cracking up laughing. Hi, Ma. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Yay. So when I asked my mother to be on the show, I honestly thought that she was going to give me a hard time. And I sent her a text message and I said, I need you on the show. And she said, is this a joke? And I said, no, like, this is for real. So I got her on the show and I thought it was important to have her, mainly because she's my mom. And a lot of people ask me, and Lita can attest to this, who's back on the show, guys. Hey, Lita. Hey. She's been in school, y'all, and she's back. I'm so happy to have her in this space. So, Ma, everybody is like, Melissa, how did you get into food? People think that I'm a farmer. People think that, you know, I'm out in the field growing food and stuff. And I hope to get there one day and on that scale. I want my land and, you know, I want all that good stuff. And I always say, my mom actually was one of the reasons that, you know, why I took this journey and what led me down this path of exploration and understanding where our food comes from. And I ended up in this space. So I'm going to allow space and opportunity for you to share a bit of your story. And then we're going to do this together. She's looking at me like I'm crazy, y'all. She's not nervous. She does video production stuff. But we're going to learn your food journey. This is a mother's food journey. Okay. And then we're going to dig into your southern roots. My mom is from Alabama, y'all. She's from Alabama. She left Alabama, Butler, Alabama, moved to Jackson, Mississippi, where my dad is from, where both my sister and I were born. And then they moved up here when I was a baby. I was one, and Centuria was 6 months. And she's been here ever since. But she's always been conscious about, I would say, diet. Would you agree? In the first, first part of your life. You worked at Georgetown Hospital for 10 years as a dietitian. My mother's always counted her calories. She's always, you know, I'm like, when I say counting her calories, like, she had like a little book and she would literally write down everything that she ate and she would write the calorie count right next to it. And I remember that you had like this little book. So anyway, and I also just want to honor you because you're my mom and Mother's Day is coming up. So this is an acknowledgement to my mama and just thank you for having me and thank you for like guiding me into this space.
Well, Melissa, thank you for having me. And it's been a joy raising you. And yes, I did grow up in Butler, Alabama, and it was a great time. I really didn't want to leave Butler, Alabama, but I didn't have a choice. And as far as growing food, my mother and my grandmother,
who used to call Ma.
I used to call Ma. They had a garden. My sister and I, we did not have to work in the garden. We would just go out just to play around. But, excuse me, fresh fruit and vegetables have always been a part of my life.
Always.
Always.
And what was your childhood like living in Alabama? Because I live for the stories that you share about, you know, swimming in the creek, and didn't you used to kick chicken eggs too? Randomly, like when you
I did not swim in the creek.
You said you swam
my
in the
cousins
creek.
They learned how to swim in the creeks.
But you never did.
I never did.
Oh, I was mistaken.
But
the water wasn't that high, was it?
No, it wasn't. Okay. But my sister and I, we did not get in the creeks. But my cousins and her large family, they learned how to swim in the creek. But growing up in Alabama was great. I mean, doing it, although it was back in the 50s, but it was great. We did what kids really don't do today. We went outside, we played, we rode our bikes, and we just had tons of fun. Just tons of fun. Outside.
Outside. Right. You keep outside.
Outside.
There was no real technology back then. There were no computers. There were
none.
No iPads.
None.
You had to go out and create your own adventures.
Exactly. And that's what we did. We played in the woods. We ran around. We had tons of fun. Outside.
And what did you eat?
Well, actually, I was a picky eater back then. I don't recall anything special, but on Sundays, that's when they really would cook the big meals. I remember eating chicken and dumplings made fresh by Ma, and I remember eating homemade peach cobblers. We had peach trees around the house. We did not have to go out and buy peaches. We had chickens running around in the yard. We did not have to buy. We did not have to go to the market to buy chickens. But we ate, I guess you can say, off the land.
You did eat off the land.
Yes, we did. Whatever my grandmother fed me is what I ate.
You know what's so funny? So I am very blessed to have both of my grandparents, both sets of my grandparents in my life. And I talked to my grandmother, my grandfather, just about, if not every day, every other day, or my grandfather calls me every day. And I was on the phone with grandma one day, which is my mother's mom. And I said, grandma, and I know this was a dumb question, but there's some things that I'm trying to like unearth about her journey. And I was on the phone with her and I said, grandma, did you grow food? And I knew she did. And she said, girl, she said, that's how we survived.
Yeah, she did. We had a garden, and I'm sure we had peas and greens and okra. And I recall we had blueberry plants or vines on the side of the house. We even had grape vines.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Green and purple grape vines. They just grew out in the woods. And we also had this grape called muscadine grape.
Oh, yes.
Which is delicious. So, again, yes, we ate off the land.
Ma, can you tell us about the dirt?
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, my mother used to tell my sister and I about this particular dirt in the country that people could eat. And she's laughing, but you did. And
yes,
I'm still looking for this dirt to this day. Can you please break
I can't
down?
Explain everything about this actual dirt, but there was a certain type of dirt that we used to eat. And it was salty and it was good. We would actually dig it out of a certain place in the ground and we would eat it. I don't know how I started doing that, but yes, we did.
Was it red?
It might have been a mixture of red and beige. And
okay.
It was a little salty.
And does it still exist in Butler, Alabama? Or
it might. And actually, I remember the exact spot that we used to get it from. When I take you back, Melissa, please.
We should have went back. So for those who are just tuning in, this is Melissa L. Jones here on the Edible Activist Podcast, broadcasting live from the lobby of the Lion, D.C., here on Full Service Radio. Today, I have the wonderful privilege of interviewing my mother, a.k.a. Ma. That's what we call her. That's what all her children call her, Ma. And she's She's funny. For those who know my mother know that this woman is hilarious, and I'm just grateful that I didn't have to pull her leg, and she did think it was a joke when I asked her.
I still think it's a joke. I'm dreaming.
So this is also, you know, Mother's Day is coming up, and although you should acknowledge your mom every single day, every day is Mother's Day. You know, I really wanted to just be a special show for her, but also bring her into this space because a lot of people ask me how I got into food, and we'll dive more into that. It really has a lot to do with my mom's food journey. So today is a mother's food journey, which is my mom, Ma, aka mm-hmm. Ma. And so I thought it was important for her to share a little bit about her upbringing in the South. She's a country girl at heart, y'all.
Yes, I am. And proud of it.
Yes, I am. And if she sees a porch or any opportunity, she can just sit outside barefoot and eat food. Like, that is what this woman likes to do.
Yes.
And I'm proud of my Southern roots. I am grateful, you know, that I have family in Mississippi. Mississippi means so much to me. And it's still home to me, honestly. And I wasn't even raised there. So my dad is from Jackson, Mississippi. And when my mother left Alabama, they moved to Jackson. And that's how, you know, my dad and my mom met. And you didn't want to leave Alabama at all.
No, I didn't.
And the funny thing is describe to people what Butler looks like. Because we always
Melissa
joke about this.
Thinks Butler is a joke.
No, I don't think it's a joke. It's just that if you blink, you miss it.
But that's okay. We have a downtown. It's like a square. We have the courthouse sitting in the middle. We
and they have these four-way stop signs that hang up in the air. There aren't even like red lights.
But back in the day, we would go, my sister and I and my cousins, we would go to Butler. On Saturdays, we did have a movie theater. We would go to the movies, and we would, actually, my mom would give us a dollar. That dollar would last us all day, back in the day, in Butler.
Man.
We would eat burgers, we would go to the movies, we would walk around, and we would have tons of fun.
You can't even get a pack of gum for a dollar. You can't even get on the bus for a dollar. Not anymore. Maybe the circulator, but that's about it.
Yes.
Goodness gracious. All right, Ma, fast forward, right? So you guys moved up to Maryland when I was one. Centauri was 6 months. You hopped on a Greyhound bus.
Yes, I did.
I was on one hip. Centauri was on the other hip. I think Daddy was already up here.
Yes.
My aunt lives up here. My aunt and my dad are really close, so he decided there was a lot going on in Jackson. They said, you know what? We got to go. So they came up here. And we moved to Silver Spring, not too far, right off of 16th Street is where we grew up. And you, for a while, you were a dietitian for about a
dietitian's assistant.
Dietitian's assistant mm-hmm. at Georgetown. And like mm-hmm. I said, you've always been conscious about diet at that point. I'll say diet. Mm-hmm. And when I say diet, like literally dieting. And you experienced or tried quite a few diets. I remember you
yes,
being a dieter.
Yes, yes. I was always weight conscious. I would exercise. And actually, I still do exercise.
You
so
do. Every morning at like 2 o'clock in the morning, y'all.
About 30, 35 years. But yes, I've always tried dieting. But not now, really.
No.
But back in the day, yes.
So fast forward, right? I think this was back in... you know better than me, what year was it when you started experiencing food allergens?
It had to be about maybe 13 years ago, because JoJo wasn't born. About 13 years ago. Actually, when I moved here, I had issues with, just like everybody else, with seasonal allergies. But 13 years ago, just things started happening in my body. I remember the first time it happened, I was walking through a Target in Wheaton Mall in the basement portion of Target. And I felt this pinching, like in my right jaw, like I had bit my jaw or whatever. So I didn't pay it any mind. I said, oh, maybe I've just, you know, bit my jaw and I just kept doing what I was doing. But that after that, frequently, I would have the swelling in my jaw again, and then my lips would blow up like the Fat Albert character. And this is no joke. So about 12 or 13 years ago, my body just began to change, and it wasn't changing for the good.
And then at what point did you turn to a more holistic approach?
Well, it took me a few years, but of course, you know, when things start happening in your body, you would, you know, go to your regular family, you know, medicine doctor.
Right.
And of course, they didn't know what was going on. They just thought, well, maybe I was allergic to food. And then they had me write down everything that I was eating. And it just kept happening. And I finally went to a doctor who specializes in allergies or whatever. I can't, whatever. And he, I took all of the tests, the skin tests, other tests. And according to him, I was not allergic to any food. He said that my seasonal allergies and my hormones, I guess, were out of sync with each other. And, of course, I talked to my GYN doctor about it, and he said, oh, they blame everything on hormones. So I was on a lot of allergy medicines. I mean, a lot of allergy medicines. So I mean, until I had the opportunity to meet this doctor by the name of Dr. James Dale at the Jericho City of Praise, what was the Jericho City of Praise back then. That started my holistic journey. Now, like you said, back in the day, I was always interested in food, and of course I went to school for, you know, dietetic technology, and I did work at Georgetown for 10 and a half years. But now, I mean, that was, back then was the ADA way. Mm-hmm. Now it's the whole food way. So,
because you guys were focused more on the actual, well, the pyramid. It was all about the pyramid,
yes,
back then.
The pyramid and whatever the American Dietetics Association said, this, that, and the other. Yes.
So I remember, and it was around the same time, or was it a couple years afterwards, me, you, and Centeria went to go watch the documentary Forks Over Knives.
Yes. I actually took you guys.
You took us, yeah.
I took you guys.
What was it? E Street Cinema?
Yes.
In DC.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was the turning point for me, really, mm-hmm. and all of us. Mm-hmm. And we were like, whoa.
Yes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to break right there. And we're going to come back because I want to talk more about that. Again, people ask me, so how'd you get into all of this? And I said, you know, my mom was dealing with some health issues and, you know, she started seeing a doctor and you wanted to know more about what was going on with the food in our system. And she took us to see this documentary, which a lot of people have seen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's turned a lot of lives mm-hmm. around through that documentary. So we're going to talk a bit more about that. And we will be right back, guys. You're listening to Perfect Day, produced by Artist Authentic. For more of Authentic's work, visit allornothingstudios.com. right. Welcome back, everyone. This is Melissa L. Jones here on the Edible Activist Podcast, broadcasting live from the lobby of The Line DC here in Full Service Radio. I'm so excited to be kicking off season 3 with Full Service Radio with no other than my mama.
Hello.
AKA Ma.
That's right.
That's what we call her, the matriarch. Thanks for coming in, Ma.
You're quite welcome, Melissa.
You thought I was pulling your leg. She says, is this a joke? You want me to come? Come on now. Come on. So for those who are just tuning in, I really wanted to pull my mother into the show and interview her and have her talk about her Southern roots in Alabama and, you know, her journey with food and some of the issues that she experienced once she actually left Alabama, Mississippi, and moved up here. A lot of people ask me, how did I get into food? And I can never answer that question without acknowledging my mother, because it really was the turning point or the start of which I started researching. And actually, when we were on, we just took a break, but and my mother really didn't mention this, but my mother is a heavy research. This woman is on her computer all the time, and she's always Googling. So it was really a thing of education once you started having allergies and the pinching of something was pinching you inside your cheek, and you were had issues with gluten, because when you started seeing a doctor, they told you to remove gluten, right?
Well, actually, they didn't tell me.
They
actually
did not.
I had to research. Actually, I did my own research, so I found out that it was gluten or either GMOs that was causing my jaws to swell and my lips to swell.
And they would swell really big.
My lip, like, especially my top lip, would swell really, really big. And but actually, a year ago, I finally got tested, and I did this not at the family medicine doctor, actually at an integrative medicine doctor. I got tested, and I am gluten sensitive, and I'm sensitive to flaxseed.
So if you all ever see me with my mother and she's asking you a million questions about what's in the food, it's really because she has to ask.
Exactly.
And so, there are a lot of people like that. And I know, I understand people get annoyed, but people have serious food allergies, and my mother is one of them. She cannot. And we've had these discussions before, too. I mean, even with other guests who come to the show, I don't even think it's the actual gluten. I think it's where we are in the States, because I know folks who live outside of the country and don't have a single issue with gluten and have had serious gluten allergies living here. Whole nother debacle, right? So my mother took my sister and I to watch a documentary called Forks Over Knives, who I know many of you guys are familiar with. And it's a documentary that pretty much, they did this experiment with about, what, 3 or 6 individuals? I can't remember how many, but they had a myriad of health issues. And so the doctor put them on a plant-based diet. They went to Whole Foods, and they changed their entire diet. And really, the end result was them being able to get off a lot of the medication, if not all of it, the majority of the medication that they were on. And we were sitting in the movie theater on E Street, like, for real? And at that point, I wasn't the person where you really had to just, like, hit me over the head with a bat to be like, yo, like, this is for real. That's when I really started doing my own, like, deep research about the food and health connection. And it was serious. I think my sister was still like, okay, I get it.
It took me a little while longer. But not only did we watch the film, but when we were walking out of the movie theater, there was this gentleman about 80-some years old. And then I think he said that he had some medical issues and he changed his diet. And actually, he's alive and well and walking, you know, and still getting information.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
I remember that. I remember that. And so, again, that was my turning point. And so I said, okay, well, if food affects diet, what else is affected? And that's mm-hmm. when I started getting into food and agriculture. And we read the China study. Did you read the China study? I read the China study.
Yes, I did.
It's a heavy read. A lot of people, mm-hmm. I mean, some people have read it, some people haven't. But again, that was another mm-hmm. experience about the plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. And it just blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And then I started learning more about food and politics, and I read Foodopoly, and then I was reading how the soil will save us. And it became more of, okay, let me learn about agriculture mm-hmm. and about where our food is coming from. That was the biggest thing. So, Mon, you went plant-based cold turkey. And I mean cold turkey. It wasn't nothing gradual.
Cold turkey.
And it wasn't it right before we went to Mississippi for Thanksgiving?
Yes, it was. Actually, when I think back again, Dr. Dale came to Jericho, and we had this. We had a class of Pastor Betty, had him to come and speak to several of us. And it was a Friday evening class and an all-day Saturday class. And I think the class was about $25. And what I've learned now, Dr. Dale, we owe you money, because that was so much information mm-hmm. for so little money. But yes, what I did, actually, Melissa, I had cooked a pot of spaghetti with meat sauce. So when I went to the class that Friday night, I think I came back home and ate the last of the spaghetti. And then that Saturday, and this has been, what, 13 years ago? And I just stopped because I went to the class to learn some good information, but I really didn't go to that class to stop eating meat. But yes, I did. And yes, we went home a month later mm-hmm. to Mississippi for Thanksgiving. And of course, I had sweet potatoes and greens, and it was great. And of course, I had to buy a lot of stuff, to take with me, along that, 16-hour drive. But yes, I did. I went basically cold turkey.
And just the scene for you, Thanksgiving in Mississippi, y'all.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's just say you would never go hungry. Like, you have food.
Too much food. They are some good cooks.
They are excellent cooks.
Yes.
My big mom makes an awesome German chocolate cake, pound cakes, macaroni and cheese. Aunt Debbie, which is my mother's sister, her seafood dressing. I mean, it is.
Banana pudding.
For banana pudding. I'm not runny banana pudding, guys. Like, really good, solid banana pudding. Greens for days, cornbread for days, stuffing for days. No, dressing. We call it dressing. We don't call it stuffing.
Cornbread dressing. Yeah. Fried fish, your Aunt Angel.
My Auntie Angel, Strawberry Delight.
Oh, my gosh.
They get it in. And what I will say is that, of course, when we went to Mississippi, everyone was like, they didn't even know we don't really like to use the word vegan, but at that point, you were saying vegan.
Yes,
at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even know what that was.
No, and nobody could understand.
And
you
nobody
don't eat meat? Oh, I will always eat meat. But some of the same people who said that then, they've cut back on not, they're not eating meat today.
And you know what, though? And that is a point that I wanted to bring up, because I feel like I was having this conversation with maybe Jeff Edwards or someone who I've interviewed before. I want to say Jeff, maybe, that at that point, when our family members were saying, huh? Like, eat meat. I mean, making jokes out of it, mm-hmm. I mean, at that point, I mean, it was funny because they really didn't understand mm-hmm. it. But fast forward, some of our family members are like, hey, Melinda, what can I cook for X, mm-hmm. Y, and Z? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to lose weight mm-hmm. or, I want to start feeling, I want to feel better. Mm-hmm. And what can I travel with? And mm-hmm. they do come back to you mm-hmm. with questions.
Yes.
and want suggestions about how to change their diet.
Or how to lose some pounds.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you were spreading edible activism back then. You didn't even know it.
I didn't have any idea.
Mm-mm. Any idea. So what are some of your favorite things to cook, Ma? Because you're an experimenter.
And I really don't like to cook.
And that actually is that's the irony.
Yeah, I'm a Southerner from Alabama, but I really don't like to cook.
Although you used to cook a lot for us growing up. Y'all, we used to eat chitlins.
Yeah.
Hog mogs.
Every part of the pig.
Every part of the pig.
Just make a long story short.
And my mother never forced us to eat a certain way. She let us eat whatever we wanted. Mm-hmm. We wanted ice cream from dinner. She was like, all right. I remember Oreo ice cream being a staple in the house. Tang. good grief, how are we still 11? Like, my mother, whatever me and my sister wanted, we had soda for days. She didn't care.
No, I didn't at that time.
At that time, you didn't. Okay. Now?
Please forgive me. I didn't. But what do I really don't like to cook.
But you like to experiment. You like to throw stuff together.
Yeah, sometimes I would do like my lima beans and sweet peas mixed together, you know, cooked together. Mm-hmm. I like my baked Japanese sweet potatoes. I mean, I really don't like to cook now, to be honest.
But you like food.
I like
food.
And you
like new stuff. And you always like trying new stuff.
Yeah,
she's always bringing something. No, not sometimes, always. She's laughing because it's the truth.
Yeah, sometimes.
I swear we're going to start a YouTube video. I'm going to have her start doing reviews. That's how much she buys stuff.
Yeah, but I just try not to. I try to eat healthy, but not too much. Mm-hmm. Because I'm nice, ripe, and 60. So, you know, I want to.
She is 6'0". Yeah, still at it.
Yes.
This woman outbeats me. Well, she can't even outbeats me because I don't do anything to compete. I don't do anything. She goes to the, how often you go to the gym? Like 3 or 4 times a week at like 3 o'clock
in
the morning?
Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 times. No, around 4, 4:30.
And she has to stay active.
I do exercise. I keep moving. I like to use my mind. I just exercise. I mean,
Ma, if you could create your own, let's say restaurant, or we could say grocery store.
No, restaurant.
Okay, restaurant. What would that look like?
My restaurant would be a gluten-free, vegan, raw, soy-free restaurant.
All like that?
Oh, just all like that. It has to be raw, has to be gluten-free, soy-free, of course, flax-free. Yeah. Raw.
And total transparency.
Organic.
Yes, and organic. Total transparency, which I know is very important to you.
Very.
You should be able to come and have conversations and everyone be transparent about what's in their food, because
exactly,
that's a lot of the issues that you have and why you're hesitant about eating at certain places, because some people don't. Well, you don't eat everywhere, first of all.
No,
let's
I don't.
Just put that out there. Mm-hmm. But even places that you do want to try, the transparency still isn't there all the time.
No, it's not. And I have to be able to talk to people, you know, and
right,
they need to be able to answer my questions. And if they can't tell me what's in their food, and no, I can't eat it.
All right. Well, maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah.
Who's going to open it? I ain't running
right.
No restaurant. That's a lot of work, man. That's a lot of work. Mom, what are some of your favorite things that you like to munch on that grandma sends you in the mail?
Pecans. Fresh pecans.
Fresh.
I don't like store-bought pecans. I like fresh pecans.
So my grandmother, Catherine Simmons, who I love, is just the light of my world. She'll sometimes go and pick pecans, the ones that are just already fallen. She'll get them
from the trees.
Mm-hmm. And will send them
in the mail.
In the mail.
To her daughter.
To her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My mom.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather will call me a couple days later and will be like, are any more pecans left? I'm like, you know, they're almost gone.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, she doesn't, like, mm-hmm, she doesn't use them for anything. She cracks them and she eats them, and that is it. When we go to Mississippi, sometimes she's coming home with like trash bag filled with pecans.
Yes, indeed.
And they are gone.
Yes. I love them. I love fresh pecans.
I know you do.
Yes.
I know you do. We're going to wrap up very soon. But again, I just want to thank you.
And thanks for having me.
For being here with me. Thank you for inspiring me in my journey. And I know that you have experienced a lot of health issues. And the biggest thing that I've actually learned about that, without going into great detail, because I know there's a lot of stuff that you want to just hold with discretion, is that, you know, watching you be so health conscious and be very mindful about what you put in your body, and even on me at times, did you read that? What's on that label? You know, like, mm-hmm, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a reminder to me that things can still happen.
Yes.
And even in your health journey, I consider you like the healthiest person walking on this planet Earth. Like, you still had to deal with some health stuff,
yes,
you know.
But I was told that I got ahead of the game. The fact that I changed my diet 12, 13 years ago, the few issues that I've had or that I'm dealing with right now, I'm like ahead of the game.
They did say that.
Yes.
So if you hadn't started way back when,
I might not be here today, or I might be on just different types of medication, synthetic medications. And there's no telling. But I was told recently by a doctor who is an integrative medicine doctor that, Melinda, you're ahead of the game.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Lita, you remember my mom had that health scare at when we were at the Waterhole? It scared me to my core. I slept in the bed with my mother that night. Lita, I was hysterics that night. I was in hysterics that night. And again, it's just, you know, everything in moderation for everybody. But again, that was one of the biggest things that I learned, is that, you know, you can be healthy as you can be, but you can still face health challenges. And it's still an everyday journey.
But the key, my key is just not to get afraid, you know, because fear is the first thing that will come to you. But I've learned to not get afraid, and not let people like put a lot on me, tell me this, tell me that. I listen, but I'm going to think about it before I do what you tell me to do.
Right.
You know, I'm not crazy. I do want to live 60 more years, but I've learned.
This woman says 60 more years.
Yes,
all right.
I've learned that I need to know, you know, hey, thank you for your advice, but just let me research it. Let me check with some more people, because I just learned that I just can't let fear take over me.
Amen to that. Amen, amen. So I'm going to ask you one last question before we wrap up. What is your hope, your fervent hope, I should say, for those who are dealing with disease but haven't sought after other alternatives?
The first thing I would say, please put that junk food down and just get all of the information you can get regarding a whole food diet. Because a lot of things, I mean, a lot of diseases and a lot of things that we go through physically, I mean, they're from food, you know, and it just changed your diet. I would suggest changing your diet. Just, I mean, seek out people to help you if you're unsure about, you know, what you should eat or what you should not eat. Seek out, you know, that information. And try holistic medicine. It works. You know, and I know people will say, you know, it's expensive. Yes, it can be expensive, but those nice cars are expensive. Those nice clothes and shoes are expensive. But your life, your health is much more valuable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you again, Ma.
You're welcome, Melissa.
I'm so happy that you came on my show. This goes down in history. She's so, y'all, my mother's so funny. My mother is so funny. She is so funny. Well, y'all can't find her on social media, okay? So there are no handles being tossed out there. If you got questions for her, you can just ask me.
That's right.
And we venture out from time to time. We were just at Cultivate the City. We got a couple of strawberry plants. Actually, I got her a strawberry plant as a pre-Mother's Day gift. My mother loves strawberries.
Yes,
we stopped at Turning Natural. So we'd be out. She asks about a lot of the people who I interview. My mother sends me text messages on Wednesday. She'll say, great job, or something's off. She'll be like, what happened? So if don't nobody else got my back, I know mama do. We may bump heads.
A lot of the time, but
I am the mother.
Here she goes. All right, guys. Now to conclude. All right, so we're going to do a quick rapid fire. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, Mom. What is your favorite leafy green?
I don't have a favorite, but I love butter lettuce. Green butter lettuce.
You're obsessed with butter lettuce.
Yeah, green.
Green.
Yes.
Okay. That's fair. All right. Sweet, spicy, sour, or salty?
Sweet and spicy.
Okay. If you had to choose one or the other?
Sweet.
Really? I think you would choose spicy before sweet.
Well, you said, I mean, okay.
You really like spicy food.
I do.
What is your favorite fruit?
Oh my gosh. I'm going to say blueberries, because I love to pick fresh blueberries, as you know.
We do. We pick blueberries.
And I have blueberries in my protein drink every morning. So blueberries, I'll say.
All right. I'm going to ask this question and you can answer it any way you want. What's cooking in your pot these days, literally?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nada.
You are so funny. I just realized that I asked you that question. Lima beans most of the time. She'll cook some lima beans, y'all.
Green peas, and I'll do mushrooms.
You
and
love
broccoli,
mushrooms.
But I really don't like to cook.
She doesn't.
I really don't.
She doesn't. She likes a lot of nuts, too, y'all.
Yeah, macadamia nuts and Brazil nuts.
One way someone can channel their inner edible activism.
By being on Melissa's ship.
Woohoo! Yay! I love it. I love it. All right, y'all, we're going to wrap up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Ma, thank you again. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for having my back. And thank you for all the good energy that you throw towards my show. It really just, it boosts my self-esteem.
Well, I'm glad.
I hope I'm doing okay.
You're doing excellent, Melissa. Yay. Keep up the good work. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll, until next time, next week. Peace. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We are here live on Full Service Radio every Wednesday at 11 a.m., where you can catch today's episode on fullserviceradio.org, as well as iTunes and Spotify. Be sure to follow me at Food Talks in Color on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Are you an edible activist? Sure you are. Come join me on the show. I would love to feature you. Just shoot me a DM on the gram. Peace and blessings all. And remember, there is no culture without agriculture.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.